Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Turn with me, please, to Matthew 25, verses 28 to verse 30. We continue on our discussions on stewardship. Matthew 25, verses 28 to 30. Matthew 25, 28 to 30. Let's go. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're discussing faithfulness, key to increase. Faithfulness, key to increase. One of man's primary assignments on earth is the management of resources. Everyone that God permits to exist on this planet has a primary responsibility, the responsibility that was given to Adam in the Garden of Eden. And it's the responsibility of managing the resources that God has put on our planet. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it." I like that. God put man, you know, he took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it, not just to enjoy it or to enjoy the resources there, but to tend it and to keep it. Wherever God has put you, he has put resources there. You need to recognize the resources, and you need to manage the resources for optimal results. It's a God-given responsibility. Many people pray for increase and wonder where their lives, why their lives are not improving. Right from scratch, when God created plants, he put seed in them. God designed our world for improvement. He designed our world for increase. But that increase does not occur automatically. It requires the intervention of man. It requires the organization of man. It requires the investment by man for that potential for increase to become reality. One of my primary responsibilities on this planet is the management of the resources that God has put at my disposal. And one thing that we realize is that God releases or allocates resources and opportunities based not only on our capacity for prayer, but on our capacity to manage. Please pay attention to that because it's very important. Yes, ask and you shall receive is in the Bible. So God gives in response to prayer. However, it's not only on the basis of prayer that God gives resources. He also factors in the capacity to manage the answer to the prayer. Very important there. So the capacity to manage must match the capacity for prayer if we will get the best results. So back to the parable of talents, Matthew 25, verse 15. As the master in the story began to give out his resources to his servants, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. He He gave to each one according to his own ability, not just his ability to pray, but his ability to manage. So if he gave someone 5 talents, it's because he had capacity to manage 5 talents. The whole story, where the story ended, eventually affirms that man's capacity to assess the ability of his servants. He gave some man 2 talents because that was what the man had capacity to manage. The man that he gave 1 talent, obviously the man had track record of failure, or the man had never been proven before. There are some people that want to invest their money, and the very first time ever they will invest their money with someone, they invest a large amount of money, someone who has no proven track record. Okay? So this guy was given 1, and we know eventually what he did with it. So as you are praying, you must also focus on the capacity to manage. To manage human resources, to manage material resources, to manage financial resources, to manage time, to manage ideas. This is also important to note. How does God measure your capacity to manage? What you are doing with what you have now is the best indicator of what you will do with more. That's it. God doesn't need to look too far. The formula that heaven employs is not complicated at all. What you're doing with what you have now is exactly what you will do with more. Luke chapter 16 proves that, verses 10 to 12, Jesus speaking. Luke 16, verses 10 to 12. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And who he is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? The testing parameters are there. Awesome. The testing parameters are there. He who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. Notice the use of language. Not he will be faithful. He is. If he is faithful in that which is little, in heaven's language, he is faithful also in that which is much. Not he will be, he is. What he is doing with little is exactly what he will do with much. Period. Wow. If you're earning small money and you are spending everything, this is the way heaven is recording it. You are earning big money and you are spending everything. That's the way heaven records it. Because what you do with small money is exactly what you will do with big money. Amazing. So anyone who says, you know what, it's because the money is little, that's why I'm spending everything. That's why I don't have any savings. That's why I don't pay my tithes. That's why I don't give to anybody. You know, that's why I'm not generous. It's because the money is small. Heaven knows you're lying. You are deceiving yourself. Because exactly what you will do with big money is what you're doing now. The money is revealing your character. It's revealing your priorities, revealing your lack of discipline. What you will do with big money, start it with small money. Okay, let me read that passage to you again. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So he says, if you want to check somebody's character or somebody's capacity for managing the resources, test the person with money. And then he says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you your own? Isn't that revealing that when God causes you to work on somebody else's business or in somebody else's business, it's because he's proving you to see whether you have the capacity to manage your own. The same way you're managing somebody else's business is exactly the way you will manage your own. Amazing. Whoa, whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Because there are some people who are not faithful while working for somebody else, and they have all sorts of excuses. It's the boss is crazy, okay? It's the people there are bad. You can give all the excuses you want. The day you start your own business, the people that will be there are just exactly like the people that are where you're working now. So if you're skipping on work, skipping on the hours, lying, calling in sick when nothing is wrong with you, you're fine. That's exactly what you will do if they give you your own. So the question Jesus is asking here is, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, you're not faithful. We've seen what you can do and what you cannot do. Why should we give you your own? And this applies to practically everything else, not only jobs. Yep. Sometimes you have the opportunity to manage somebody else's house. The fact that you're just a tenant does not give you the right to misuse somebody's house. You should treat it like it's yours. The fact that it's a rented car does not mean that you should mess it up. Why? Oh, it's proof of what you'll do with yours. Okay? So I'm just trying to explain heaven's testing parameters and why sometimes some people pray for increase, pray for promotion, they don't get it, and they don't understand why. It's not about what you're going to do in the future, and sometimes it's not the devil. It's just exactly what you're doing right now with the resources at your disposal. Dr. David Oyedepo says that you don't become big to manage well. You manage well to become big. It's not because you now have a lot of money, that's why suddenly you became smart and knew how to manage millions. It doesn't work that way. The millions aren't coming for most people, except you steal it. You don't become big to manage well. You manage well to become big. Getting a lot more resources when you are not organized will kill you. Just a few people or a few resources, you're losing your sleep. So why should God answer your prayer to give you 100 times more what you're asking for? It's a matter of capacity. Okay, let's move on. The key factor in the management of resources is planning. The key factor in the management of resources is planning. If you want to grow big, you want God to give you more money, give you more employees, give you bigger space, give you more equipment. If you want more of resources, planning is critical in the management of resources. Proverbs 21 and verse 5 in the Message Bible captures it. Proverbs 21 and verse 5 in the Message Bible. It says, careful planning puts you ahead on the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Careful planning puts you ahead on the long run. Planning is simply the allocation of resources, okay, for optimal results. It's creating a step-by-step plan for moving from where you are to the achievement of your objectives. One of the things that planning helps you to do is to prioritize. for you to be able to determine what is most important and then what is next and then what is next and then what is next. Very important. You must learn to do first things first. Another important thing when it comes to management is investment. The need for us to make the appropriate input so that we can get appropriate output at an increased measure. Investment of resources. And when you invest resources, you don't invest to impress other people. You invest to achieve your desired results. You don't invest to impress. There are too many people who are concerned about what people will say, concerned about other people's opinions. And there are people who have absolutely nothing to invest because in the bid to impress people, they're busy spending everything that they have today, including the seed that should create the harvest for tomorrow. One other important factor in the management of resources is the need for you to evaluate and for you to fight waste. You need to measure your results. Evaluate and fight waste. If you are making inputs into a particular area, but you're not getting the desired returns, you need to change something. If you're investing your time, investing your energy, investing your money in something, and it is not yielding the desired results, do something about it, because that's exactly how God behaves. John 15, verses 1 to 3, hear what Jesus said. John chapter 15, and verses 1 to 3. Jesus said there, Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. And he said, every branch in me that does not bear good fruit, he said, the Father does what? Takes it away. Every branch that bears fruit, he does what? He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. I like that. The Father pays attention to the productivity. He's the vine dresser. I like that. Any branch that does not bear fruit, he does what? He takes it away. You have to be that decisive if you will ever build wealth or experience increase in the things you do. You've got to be decisive. You've got to be decisive. Eliminate waste. Don't be sentimentally attached to anything that has outlived its usefulness. I love that. So the fact that something was productive before, the fact that it brought you the desired results before, is no guarantee it will continue to do so. When you get to the point where the opportunity has been exhausted or the method or program has outlived its usefulness, get off it. Too many people sentimentally attached. Oh, but it worked before. It's not working anymore. It's not working anymore. Be decisive about it. The Father does what? Takes it away. And even the one that is bearing fruit, he prunes it. Pruning involves cutting. So even the branch that is bearing fruit, there are parts of it that are dead and or are wasting the resources. He cuts it so that the resources can go to the most productive parts. In the management of resources, we have to look like God our Father. Let's read from Luke 13, verses 6 to 9. Luke 13, 6 to 9. It says, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it like this. Cut it down. Some of us have been hearing that from the Holy Spirit, but we've been hanging on and it's taking us down. It's wasting our time, wasting our energy. Cut it down. Now, don't take that as an excuse to not be persistent, because some people's lives are full of unfinished projects. Don't take that as license to abandon projects before they've had the opportunity to come to fruition. So that's why I like what the person said. He said, okay, fine, I agree, it's not been productive. Can you give me one more year? I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to change the approach. I put in more fertilizer, okay? If after that it has not produced, then I'm going to take it down. We're going to take it down, okay? After 3 years, there was nothing. And then the fourth year, you know, they added one more year. You've got to be decisive. Eliminate waste. And I like to make this last point. Remember that you own nothing. God owns everything. You own nothing. God owns everything. And your stewardship can be terminated. The one that owns everything can decide to just take you off the list. Okay? And I'm going to read that from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. It says, he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. That's it. The report has come to me that you are wasting my goods. I am about to terminate your stewardship. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that your stewardship will not be terminated. But I've observed it's not everyone that was prospering some years back that is still prospering now. And sometimes you think, oh my God, is it the devil? It's a satanic attack. Yes, that does happen in some circumstances. That's not the point. The point was that when God allowed the flow of resources, when God allowed people to flow to your ministry or to flow to your business, he had a purpose in mind. When he allowed you to get financial resources, he had some objectives in mind. And if the resources were not expended on those objectives, then you know what God will do. We end up with the passage that we read at the beginning of this message. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So resources will always flow. Resources will always flow from those who don't manage them well to those that manage them well. Several years back, God gave us this understanding on the need for us to set up a training system, structured training for our members, train those who wanted to become members, train those that wanted to commit to grow spiritually, train those that wanted to serve God and humanity with their gifts, train those who wanted to know how to share the message of the gospel with others. And I took the training, 30 classes in all, 30 weeks, 7.5 months. I took the training 1 hour before the service. And as soon as we were done, I just knew that we got something right. Because the training was to take someone from being a sinner and to transform the person into a minister, not just a church bench warmer, a minister. So I said to the Lord, now I have an idea what you want me to do with church members. You want me to train them into ministers so that they can be part of your army, that you can use. I said, now that I understand, Lord, you can send 10,000 people. You know what he did? He sent them. It was just boom, the church grew. So, take the talent from him that has one. Give it to the man who has 10. Resources will always flow. They will always be directed and redirected. And they will move from those that don't manage them well to those that manage them well. Just in case somebody is thinking, oh my God, I've made some mistakes with respect to my resources. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, your day of restoration is here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Our God is a God of mercy. When we repent of our mistakes, he forgives us. Today in Jesus' name, I receive mercy on our behalf for every mistake made because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I declare in Jesus' name, whatever we lost because of our mistakes, the day of recovery, the day of restoration is here in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. The day of restoration is here. The day of restoration in business is here. Restoration in career is here. The day of restoration of health is here. Thank you, Jesus. Our body is a resource that God gave us, and he expects us to manage it well. I prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit comes on that body. I prophesy healing from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of us had employees and we mismanaged them. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We had employees and we mismanaged them. But today is a day of forgiveness, a day of healing, and a day of restoration. I prophesy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now there shall be a flow of faithful people towards you and towards your work in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, someone experienced some increase before financially, but their things have turned down. I declare today marks the end of lack. Today marks the breaking of that cycle of misfortune. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ, restoration, restoration, restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For to him that has, even more will be given. I prophesy in Jesus' name that the day and the season of promotion is here. Resources are beginning to move in your direction. Favor works for you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. New doors of opportunity open for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And these we receive with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.